When you think of Ireland, what images pop into your mind? Is it Michael Flatley, Gene Butler and the rest of the colourful troupe stomping their way around the globe? Or maybe it's the International Song Contest that set Riverdance on their way to success.
Ireland are the winners of this year's Eurovision.
Maybe you think of a picture postcard idyll as imagined by Eamon de Valera.
A land whose countryside would be bright with cosy homesteads, whose fields and villages would be joyous with the sounds of industry, with the romping of sturdy children, the contest of athletic youths, and the laughter of happy maidens.
When you think of Ireland, maybe our lush green pastures aren't quite alive with the sound of happy maidens.
The widow will get £50 from me for the field, the silly woman. The priest will get his Easter jewels, and we'll all be happy in Carrickthorne. Give everyone a drink.
Perhaps you have in mind a land of saints and scholars.
I will arise and go now, and go to Innisfree.
Maybe you're thinking of Croke Park on All-Ireland Sunday.
And Jimmy Barrett, Jimmy who seems to be everywhere. Right through the centre to Ray Cummins. Ray Cummins now, up and on the wing to Jimmy Barry Murphy. Jimmy Barry on the 14, what's he going to do? A goal!
Maybe you're thinking of a modern-day Ireland with first-rate motorways, state-of-the-art shopping centres, a world-class bloodstock industry, an island that is home to multinational conglomerates.
I'm speaking to you today from the Google European headquarters on Dublin's Barrow Street, at the heart of the growing digital industry in Ireland. Google, along with many other globally recognised names, have established themselves in Ireland for a number of years.
Ireland means different things, clearly, to different people. But does the Ireland of 2012, with an acclaimed film industry, award-winning writers and scientists, and a thriving export-driven food industry, sit comfortably with traditional Ireland? At the weekend, I travelled to the picturesque Gap of Dunloe in County Kerry. You could ask me, of course, what took me to this part of the country. Well, the second Sunday in November is traditionally the last horse fair of the year. I wanted to see for myself if this highly popular event still has a place in the modern world.
If you haven't got it, I can find it. You name it, anything from a common pin to a battleship, a needle to an anchor. I'm known by some people as the A-team. When everything fails, come to me, I'll get it for you.
So what are you selling this gentleman here beside you?
I'm hoping to sell him two milk churns and repair a set of donkey tattling for him.
Two milk churns?
Yes.
And?
Repair a set of donkey tattling.
And what do you think of the milk churns?
He's asking too much for him. He's asking 49, giving him a score.
Would you not kind of come down on your price?
No, you see, you can mix the salt with the sugar. You have either keep this thing sweet or keep it sour. Otherwise, we're going to go the wrong way around with it. But don't worry, I'll convince him. I'll convince him.
Well, you're a bit of a journey to go now.
No, I have not, because I'll tell you now. My dad's got resty, so all said to me, said to our neighbour one time, he says, I read four grand girls, he says, and I have no problem with him, he says. But you see that young fellow of mine, he says, his only son, he says, but he'll piss up on your back sometime, he says, and he'll persuade you you're sweating. And he didn't know, he wasn't too far wrong.
Well, what's the best you can come up with then?
I'm giving him a score now, what do you do with him before I leave? What do you take from him? What do you take from him? Straight up, go on.
No. But here I'll tell you what I want to do. Give me 30 apiece from him. That's it, divide in the middle, bang him down, and we'll go away with him.
What do you want for the two of them? Straight up.
You owe me 30 next Saturday, Tom. Right, boy. No. Didn't realise when you were a young fellow growing up, when your mother would send you around to the corner shop, she was putting the book until next Saturday.
That's quite true.
Well, there's a fellow now, I have to take him a steak man half me, and I won't be paid. I got some bit of it. I got the price of the handle, but I'll have to wait to go to Puck Fair next, the small Puck Fair next Saturday to get the rest of it. So I'll be like a pig's tail, I'll be on the bum until I get the next year the 30 quid.
But it's all done on honour and dignity. Oh, yes. I mean, he's going to come to you now and pay you the rest.
Yes.
He's a robber, that fellow.
Hello.
How are you?
Glad to yourself.
Not too bad. What's your name?
Lee.
Tell me where you are, because I have to, I'm kind of leaning up towards you.
On the top of a horse.
And are you buying this horse?
I'm selling the horse.
And what are you going to sell it for?
700.
No. Hold on. How much?
7.
If I gave you 6, what would you think?
7.
And where are you from?
Charlton, County Cork, Rennick Road.
Right. And are you dealing and selling in horses all your life?
Yeah.
And how old are you?
7.
Good man. Lads, I'm looking for a good bargain here. Are there any good bargains going?
No, Matt, you know, unless this man here doesn't make anything.
Are you selling this beautiful horse?
Trying to. Yeah, she's an Irish gypsy cob. She was for driving and riding and arsing about, as the man says.
And how much do you want for her?
900.
900?
Yeah.
Are you mad?
Yeah, small bit.
What's the best price you give it?
What do you give me?
450.
I wouldn't wake her up for sleep for it.
What's he at?
I said 450. He wants 900.
You know, geez, he wants it. It's a burger. Who wants?
He's one I bred from a foal.
Right.
My own breeding.
So, Patrick, what's the asking price?
We're asking 1,200.
Right. And there's a smile on his face, Martin.
Right. He knows that he about the IMF. He knows that he about the IMF. Right. That's in another country, in another parish. The Kerry fellas give the cock fellas a terrible doing it this fair, you know. They get us over the county bounds, and by God, we'll remember it when we're going back.
I can see the Kerry man has the ball, and he's not going to give it to the Cork man.
No. It's going to be hard to score here. You can see the roguery glint in his eye, can't you, you know?
So will you soften, Patrick?
No, I'm afraid it's evening already.
He forgets my mother came from Kerry.
Would you take 1,000, for instance?
No, that's the stage, not. No.
He's too much money in the bank, you see.
Yeah.
He's too much money in the bank.
I have him fairly reasonably priced it.
At 1,200?
Yeah, yeah.
When you say you wouldn't take it at this stage, does that mean if it was 6 o'clock this evening, you might take it from Martin?
I'm afraid not, no.
He's no wife to answer to, that's the problem. I'm coming to the conclusion that the Kerry man keeps his money in horses rather than the bank, you see.
So, finally, will the Kerry man sell to the Cork man?
Hopefully.
I'll give you it.
No good.
I can't help you, Martin.
You can't help me. We'll have to wait till nightfall for him. He's a dark horse.
Thank you. Pa, what are you selling?
A jack donkey.
A jack donkey?
Yeah. He has his Learodies in.
Oh, I understand now.
If they were out, he'd be a gelding.
All right, okay. I'm learning. So, how much are you looking for the jack donkey?
€70.
And tell me, Pa, is there a demand for donkeys these days?
No, not really. It's gone up to what it was. But sure, the wheel goes round and they come back again. I have 14.
You have 14 donkeys?
Yeah.
And what do you do with the 14 donkeys?
Them and sell them every year, like, but there's no sale for them now. So.
Are you interested in these foals?
Yeah, there's a nice Connemara foal here now. I suppose during the Celtic Tiger, I suppose he'd be worth about 4,000. And now you could hardly sell him. Maybe 100 to 200. And everyone wanted to be a donkey. they were making so much money that you could take him to Puck and no bother, you get 2,000 for a mare donkey.
Isn't Ireland changing when you see? I mean, this is almost a dying part of our culture.
It is. But it's lovely to see the horse fair held here and see them held on the streets as well. It's nice to see it. You can see dealing done and cash changing hands and all that.
So are you going to buy?
Well, hopefully for the days out, and wait till the evening.
I'd say you're a difficult man to bargain with.
I'm a farmer, yeah. I just came down for the day now, for the day out. Have a look around, and so didn't I meet you into that?
You just ran out of luck, actually, John. So would you mind if John spent a bit of money, like €200 or less, if he can get away with it?
Hopefully less. Maybe he'll buy something else in the fair for me as well today. There's a few nice bit of antiques and stuff down along there, so I'd be interested in a few of them as well. So
John doesn't look like an antique man to me.
No. He stick to the Connemaras, I'd say.
Do you enjoy this going around the fair?
I do. I'd say people look forward to it. It's an annual event for some people as well. They come here from all over with the horses and the fair, and they meet people. They mightn't meet them until this time next year again. Why lose it? I mean, it's part of our tradition, so it's lovely. It was always there, so it's a pity change it. It's a pity to see all those things dying out.
I'll give you one last shot at him. Give me 900.
No. I said, we'll do it.
Ask me 1,000.
No, 11. 11.
Ask me 1,000. Be fair, ask me 1,000 and I'll bid you. Ask me 1,000.
Bid me 1,000.
Right, give me 50 look out of 1,000.
No, but I'll give you 50 lift out of.
You'll let the two of you in, don't let anything happen, both of you. Look. Here. Divide the last 25.
And all right.
Let him go for his own look out of it.
That's a deal. That's one horse sold. That's a deal.
Ah, at last, Billy the horse, beautiful horse, was sold by the Kerryman to the Corkman. So I'm sure that everybody was happy. We're joined in the studio by Billy Keane, publican and columnist with the Irish Independent, all the way from Listowel, County Kerry.
Especially for you, Marty.
Thank you, Billy. And also joined by Trevor White, director of the Little Museum of Dublin. Thank you very much for coming in, Trevor.
Thank you. We're delighted
to have you as well. Billy, if I can start with you, do you remember horse fairs? And indeed, do you still have them in Listowel?
Yeah, we do. We have four every year. And it's the first quarter of every year, the first Thursday in January, and then four times a year. I remember them well when I was a kid, you know. There was one famous one where there were donkeys bought, this fellow called Jet O'Carroll. His son owns a pub across the road from our pub. It's called Jets, funnily enough. And his son's name is Eamon O'Carroll, but he's also an undertaker, and he's known as Ned the Dead. But that has nothing to do with the horse fair. But his father was a great man for dealing in horses, and donkeys were a speciality. So one day he asked me, I was only a kid, we left the horse fair. I went to Limerick Docks with a lorry load of donkeys for export. Don't ask me where they were going. But there was a young lad at the gate, and he was kind of slow to open it, so because it was closing time, and Jet tried to distract him. And he said, come here, young lad, he said. And he whispered to the young lad, he said, son, he said, don't eat another sausage till them donkeys are out of the country. So we had all that characters coming, and the same lads used to come year after year, and it was a big day in town. It still is pretty big in Listowel, and they're great lads, like the old lads coming down. I remember there last year, this fella, he was too old to look after a horse, so he arrived in anyway with a winkers, you know, for the horse's head. So I said to him, did you sell? No, he says, but he says, I couldn't come to the Listowel horse fair empty-handed.
he just brought the winkers with him.
Yeah, it's a lot of old characters and kids as well, like you have in Killarney, and it's a lovely horse fair.
That was a wonderful kid, wasn't it?
He was a great little lad from Charleville.
Yeah, I
think we'll make him the Minister for Finance. Yeah.
And he wasn't coming down on his price either,
I can tell you. Trained into it, I'd say.
Trevor White, Director of the Little Museum of Dublin, do you think in some way that rural people see themselves as the true Irish? In other words, that unless you are from the soil, you're somehow disconnected from the real meaning of being Irish.
I don't really know. I think it's certainly true that there's people from all over the country who have a very strong sense of identity. And you could argue, in fact, that Dublin has a slightly confused sense of itself. But frankly, I dispute the premise of the question because I think most people are intelligent enough to realise that life doesn't work like that. Mm. You know, to quote the great Stevie Wonder, there's good and bad in everyone. You know, and you simply can't say that huge swathes of the country are populated by Egypts or heroes or whatever it is. I mean, that's a nonsense.
Mm. Do you feel that, you know, what we listen to there, the horse fair and the Gap of Dunloe, is a thing of the past, that it is in our fathers' and grandfathers' time, and that it is no longer part of Ireland?
I hope it's not. But, a horse fair represents lots of intangible things that are worth celebrating, things like, you know, ancient knowledge, horsemanship, independence, community. These are valuable things. These are things that we should promote. Unfortunately, the horse fair that we have in Dublin has a, you know, that's a slightly more complex picture. But, I mean, what a pleasure to listen to that report. I commend you on it. It's great, great, great listening.
Well, the people there were just so welcoming and so of the heart and soul of County Kerry and Cork in particular. Mm. Billy, in terms of being a businessman in the town of Listowel, that where I was on Sunday was the Gap of Dunloe, and you can just imagine the mountains and the sheep and everything else all around us. Just wonderful. But what is there a different attitude to business people like the town of Listowel to have a horse fair going through the streets?
Well, you have, some people don't like it, you know, because they think it affects business because the street is blocked off. And, you know, there's a lot of horse manure which follows horses. I'd be all for it, obviously. I love it.
I thought you were going to say you love horse manure.
It's funny. I've listened to a good bit of it over the years. And Brenda, they say it makes for great rhubarb as well. So maybe it could be harvested and sold on to the rhubarb manufacturers, rhubarb growers. No, it's part of who we are. It's an interesting enough sort of proposition that, you know, that you should corral the horses into a different space and keep them off the streets. But I think really, if you look back far enough, there aren't too many of us that far away from horse manure. You speak about Dublin. I love Dublin. A great city. Come here every chance I get. Walked here and still do. But I often think that, you know, maybe the soil isn't as far away from Dublin people as they think. It's often only a generation, or like you, you're a first generation Clare man living in Dublin. And it's only a generation or two away from most people. And I think it's wrong to kind of look at the city-country divide. Any Dubs that come, I mean, most of the Dubs came to Kerry last year, so they could gloat over beating us in the All-Ireland. But it's where they come on their holidays. There's some connection between Dublin and Kerry, and they come all the time. So I know there are some people who don't really get rural Ireland, but that's their problem. And I know there are people in rural Ireland who have this kind of an anti-Dublin thing, which is their problem. I think we're all Irish, and, you know, it's like that gathering thing. We all have to pull together.
Absolutely. Well, in fact, Billy, you've done the business for me, because what you've said there is perfect. Nice words, because we want to talk just after the news and sport about the image of Ireland, that we have of ourselves and indeed internationally, considering the recession and everything else. So if you have any thoughts, do text us 51551. Trevor White, director of the Little Museum of Dublin, and Billy Keane, well-known journalist and, of course, son of John B. Keane, here in the studio. And we'll be chatting to them right after the news. Trevor White, director of the Little Museum of Dublin, and Billy Keane, all the way from Listowel and County Kerry, still with me here in studio, and of course Brenda as well. We're talking about the image of Ireland. We want to see, you know, you're from Dublin, Billy is from Kerry. Is Ireland being marketed properly, do you think, Trevor?
I'm not sure that we're playing to our strengths. I mean, just firstly dealing with Dublin, the Dublin region accounts for 4 out of every 10 jobs in this country, nearly half of all the goods and services, nearly half of all the tax revenue. To put it very simply, unless we have a strong, dynamic capital, the rest of this country will not recover. It simply won't. We need it. And when you ask the question about the Irish identity that we promote, I think the first thing we need to do is to be honest with ourselves. We need to get over this so-called Dublin rural split thing. It simply doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve our purpose. We need to get behind the idea of a strong Dublin. I think John Tierney, the city manager, actually put it very well the other day. He said, look, it's better that your children are working in Dublin than in far-flung places like Australia and Canada. If that's the choice, my motto would be, let's bring them back home. And I think he's absolutely right. I think for the good of Ireland, we really need to get behind Dublin.
Billy, in terms of being from rural Ireland and Listowel, in the sense of unemployment, people moving out, maybe moving to Dublin, but moving abroad as well, do you feel that enough is being done to market Kerry, the horse fair? That's that aspect, or is it overdone? Is that past?
No, it's not. No. You have to play to your strengths. I'd have a lot of experience of meeting Americans, especially the Irish Americans when they come over, particularly second or third generation Irish Americans. And contrary to what people think, they love the Killarneys, the beautiful places, but all they want is to meet people, real people. Go to the horse fair, have a chat with the fellas on the side of the street, be made welcome, be made part of Ireland. And you don't have to give them any rubbish about leprechauns or shillelaghs. That's all over forever, thank God. So just talk to them as real people. But I would take Trevor up on the point. I'd love it, and I would prefer to see my kids working in Dublin than abroad. No, I did it myself, and I loved it and that. But I think as it stands at the moment, and I maybe this is what you're getting at, Trevor, that Dublin is undersold. I think Dublin is oversold. I mean, Shannon is nearly gone. So many of the tourists that used to come down to Kerry from Shannon because of the Shannon stopover, which was positive discrimination in favour of Shannon, the southwest of Ireland, all the way up to the west, up to Knock, up even, you know, all that way up was beautifully served by Shannon. And it gave us an edge because it's the only thing we have. We have beautiful scenery. We don't have the huge manufacturing industries. We don't have all the offices. You walk down the street today in Dublin, there are thousands of people walking around the streets. Every restaurant is busy. Every bar is busy. I'd get that crowd once a year for the store races. I think that Dublin is far too well looked after. And I think one of the best ideas we ever had was to take government departments out of Dublin, but it wasn't planned properly. It was just a question that there wasn't. It would probably take 6 or 7 years of planning and a gradual process. Decentralisation wasn't such a bad idea if it was done right and planned right. And with communications and with all the skills we have nowadays to get in touch with each other. I mean, I love Dublin, don't get me wrong. It's my capital city. I love the Dubs, but I'm really sick of the fact that this Dublin lobby, that they keep looking for everything for Dublin all the time. The country is very, very badly neglected. Emigration hits everywhere, but I'll bring you down to the stall and I'll walk you down the main street in the stall and I'll show you two gone out of that house, three gone out of that house, and they're all my kids' ages. And I feel very bitter about that. And I feel that there are loads of jobs in Dublin compared to what's on down the country, in the Listowels, in the small towns and villages. And I'm not being anti-Dublin anyway. As I say, I love it and I'd rather see my kids walk there any time. Mm. But Dublin gets far, far too much and everyone knows that.
Well, I suppose a couple of things there. The first thing, Billy, is, I mean, with respect, I don't think there's too many people pushing decentralisation anymore. Most people recognise that it was among the dafter proposals. But I have to express sympathy with you and your description of Listowel. Of course, that's touching. Mm-hmm. That's a situation that's repeated all over the country. Mm-hmm. It's not unique to Listowel.
I know.
And certainly not. You know, it's not that I have a big chip on my shoulder that of poor old Dublin. That's not what I'm getting at here. But what I would do is simply ask the question, who does it benefit? You know, who does it benefit for us to promote this idea that there's some sort of Dublin bias or that Dublin gets all the attention? And I think when you start to look at that question in any detail, you realise that actually, contrary to the widespread perception of a Dublin bias, then in fact you could just as easily argue that the opposite is true. And to illustrate that, I have a question, just a simple question. Yeah. What do the following people have in common? Mm-hmm. The Director General of RTE, the Chairman of RTE, the Editor of the Irish Daily Mail, the Editor of the Irish Times, the Editor of the Irish Independent, the Editor of the Sunday Independent, and finally, even the editor of the Evening Herald, the voice of the working class Dub. What do all those people have in common?
I know that none of them are from Dublin, but...
None of them.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with it?
Most people come up and work in Dublin.
What's that got to do with where they're from?
It's specific.
I know the editor of the Irish Independent. I work for them. He's been in Dublin all his life. And he knows because he's in Dublin since he was 17 years of age. My own editor of the Irish Independent, Stephen Rea, has been in Dublin since he's 17 years of age. He knows more about Dublin at this stage than Kerry, and he'll tell you that. There's absolutely no anti-Dublin bias in the media. Everything happens in Dublin. I'm in Dublin today. Yeah. I travelled up on the train from Limerick to be here today because I was interested in this debate and it meant a lot to me, and I'm mad about Marty. But and I tell you this. It's a day's work.
We've played football together.
We played football together with UCC. In fact, I was going to say I carried him on my back, but that'll get us into more trouble. But Trevor, it's, you know, and I love what you're doing with the Little Museum of Dublin. It's a lovely concept and all that, but really and truly, like, anyone that thinks that Dublin doesn't really own Ireland is delusional, because really everything happens here. Like, I'm here today because RTE is here. The Children's Hospital is going to be in Dublin. Everything is in Dublin. The fucking zoo is in Dublin.
Sense. Billy, it is.
It doesn't make sense. Because if you get it out down the country...
It's the capital city.
Do you know this?
When Dublin and Kerry meet in Croke Park, they have an argument. When they meet in a studio in RT, they have an argument. But anyway, unfortunately, gentlemen and ladies, we're going to have to end this a little bit, because compliments for having Mr. White on. He's a breath of fresh air, so wise and observant. Would love to hear an in-depth interview with him. Great programme. Billy, your dad, the great John B. Keane, lives on in you, and they're both complimentary. Want to give in this about the Uniquely Dublin?
Yeah, Uniquely Dublin is a new competition that Dublin City Council have organised, and it's part of this rebranding project. And very simply, we're inviting people from all over the world to think up new ways to celebrate Dublin, whether it's through writing or photography or graphic design. And there's a €10,000 cash prize for the winner. And it is open to people from all over the country.
Including lads from Listowel.
Indeed.
And can I say, I have a funny feeling...
Too sophisticated for that.
I have a funny feeling, Trevor White and Billy Keane, we're going to have you back again at another time. But before I leave you, very briefly, tonight is a little special emotional night for the Keane family, isn't it, in Listowel?
Yeah, there's a special tribute by the Larty Theatre Group. It's called John B After 10, to celebrate John B's, you know, 10th anniversary of his death. And my young lad, young John, is making his debut on the stage, reading his granddad's poem, The Street, and he's in the same school where my dad went, and at the same age when my dad wrote it. So very special for us.
Very special. And thank you, Billy, for making the effort to come all the way up to us today. I really appreciate it. And indeed, Trevor as well. You didn't come from Listowel, but you came from down the road. But we still appreciate it.
You can get a bus home anyway.
Trevor White and indeed Billy Keane, thank you both very much indeed.